Everything he has done is well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Amen. I like to refer to today's gospel reading as the blessing of the wet willy. If you're a child, there's no greater miracle. Forget everything else, feeding of 4,000, forget raising Lazarus from the dead, curing paralytics, or the resurrection. No, Jesus' greatest gift is the permission to jam your finger into your younger sister's ear and scream, "Ephphatha." I was just trying to help you. Jesus told me to do it. And if you want to get really biblical, rub some mud on that finger. I'm not going to encourage any wet willies from the pew today, but I also am not going to stop them. This is what happens when my boss is away for the weekend. I joke, but I hope this gets at the larger spirit of how this gospel selection might land with us. These are not stories that simply defy rationality, stories that require us to deploy a faith in the supernatural in order to believe in the story. We already have plenty of those in Scripture. This feels different than that. What's unsettling is not simply that miracles happen here, but it's exactly how they happen. These are just flat-out weird stories. They're weird in part because they confront the expectations of our post-Enlightenment minds, demons, exorcism, mud working as a salve that heals the deaf. But even more so, they're weird because the Jesus that we know and have been taught to follow guides us in compassion, in understanding, in mercy. Here, Jesus seems to be anything but that. As the story begins, Jesus is tired. Mark's gospel remarks to us, "He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there." Perhaps because of his fatigue, and because he is discovered when desiring solitude, Jesus is really curt with the Syrophoenician woman who approaches him with a possessed child in tow. His response to her plea for help is provincial, quipping, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." If you're like me, you feel really bad for this woman. She's simply doing the best she can to look out for a suffering child. She's honoring the parental instinct that lies deep within us as she dares as a lowly Gentile to approach a tired Jesus. She deserves mercy, love, healing. And Jesus does heal her, but I'm left feeling reflexively frustrated. He abides, but he calls her a dog, and he appears to only offer her help begrudgingly. He tells her that she's only worth the scraps beneath the table. It's a narrow-mindedness that runs contrary to the values that bring each of us here on Sunday. At first glance, frankly, it's embarrassing. I'm left wondering if this is the person and the God that I've elected to follow. But the more that I consider this question in light of this passage, the more I am reminded exactly of myself. I recall the times when I've been tired, slinked away, only to find someone asking for help. Times when I've been short, rude, insensitive. When I remember who I am convinced that this is precisely the person and the God that I am called to follow. It's not a begrudging yes, proclaimed in spite of Jesus' frustrations here, but fundamentally because of the gripes that he shows. Our vision of perfection is for Jesus to be merely technically human, but to abide by none of the actual rules of humanity. In God's taking on human flesh through Jesus' incarnation, we have to admit that Jesus was fully human. And this story, of course, makes us keenly aware of Jesus' humanity. But perhaps we're left wondering, well, where's the divinity in that? It's comforting to know that we're not alone in our moments of agitation, that Jesus, too, was human in all of the hardest ways. It's nice to know of Jesus' frustration, but that's not entirely aspirational. We're not merely here because Jesus was human. We're here because we're convinced that Jesus is God, presented to us in human flesh. We come here to church in part to know that we're held by the grace and mercy of God in all of our messiness. But we're also here for transformation. And if we dig a little bit deeper, I think an awareness of our spiritual transformation is present here in this story too. We find our insight in the second story from today's gospel. After the frustration of his first encounter, we notice that Jesus' conduct in Decapolis is far different than how he acted in Tyre. The townspeople bring a deaf man with a speech impediment to Jesus, and they beg him to heal the man, just as the Syrophoenician woman had begged Jesus to heal her son. This time, though, Jesus has no insult or objection. He takes the man away to a private place, places his finger inside the man's ear, and what does he say to the man? Ephphatha, be opened. We are told immediately his ears were opened, his tongue released, and he spoke plainly. Be opened. Jesus offers this prayer for the ears to hear and for the mouth to speak. But I suspect its intention is to tell us something greater about our senses. I cannot truly see until I am opened. I cannot truly hear until I am opened. And if Jesus reflected on his grumpy encounter with the Syrophoenician woman, perhaps it's a prayer that he'd offered for himself. Be opened. Jesus' greatest failure for us as listeners in that moment was a failure to hear. That's not to say that his ears didn't work, of course. He listened to the woman, and that's shown in that he ultimately granted her requests. But our frustration with Jesus is that in that moment, he did not truly hear the woman. He was not present with her. We sense that he did not see the woman. But where Jesus shows us his divinity, the divinity of his human journey, is in his growth throughout the passage. In some sense, it seems that Jesus recognizes his misstep and he corrects it as best as he can with a prayer for the deaf man, a prayer for himself, and a prayer for all of us today. Be opened. Jesus' transformational message for us today is that we are called to deeply hear and to deeply see one another. We are called to see where God's Spirit resides in others and within ourselves. To do so, we must continually work to open our hearts, growing ever closer towards light and wholeness. Today tells us that we must seek authentic encounter. And yet when we are tired and less than who we want to be, there is grace and there is comfort. Jesus has been there too. And yet to do this work well, we must not only listen to this message, but we must hear it. God loves you. God loves you as you are today, right now, and always. God loves you. That is the easiest message to hear, but perhaps the hardest message to truly listen to. And yet, if we are to be opened and to open others, we must hear it deeply. God loves you. Let us go forth this week remembering and reminding ourselves as much as we need to. God loves you. And let us hear it. Amen.